Yes, it was all of his life. I think he came from a large family. They all worked. Mm-hmm. That was the only way you could survive is by hard work.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about plowing.
Well, he got out to have to plow the garden, not the garden, but the fields to plant the grain and the alfalfa and all. There was a lot of plowing to do, but four-horse team behind a plow.
Mm-hmm.
And spend all day at it. Come in dead tired.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, at that time, my oldest brother was old enough to do a lot of the chores,
mm-hmm.
and which he did that, but did his own butchering, his own curing of the meat and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the haying time, even before we had the big brothers, mother worked out in the field with dad.
Mm-hmm.
He'd mow and she'd do the raking.
Now, would people come around to help?
No.
No, you lived. Did it all.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have
to. They all had the same chores to do.
Yeah.
Everybody lived about the same, you know.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And then Dad played for the dances.
Mm.
We'd have dances in the schoolhouses.
Uh-huh.
And Dad played an accordion.
But he was popular.
And sometimes he'd use a mouth harp. He had one about that long.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I can remember when I was smaller, mm-hmm. sitting on, I'd be on one of his knees and his accordion on the other, playing accordion at home.
And everybody went to the dances.
Oh, yes.
The kids and
they'd have quadrilles and three steps, the sous vienne, Virginia reels.
Really?
Uh-huh. Oh. Foxtrot.
Uh-huh.
Circle two step.
And you learn them all.
We've done Virginia reels and circle two step. There's up here in that KP Hall.
Oh, really?
When I was in high school.
Uh-huh.
And later.
Hmm. Another thing I've heard about is the box socials where you.
Oh, yes. They'd go to schoolhouses for that and have box socials.
And tell us what that means.
Well, the ladies would fix up a box and decorate it all up where it was real pretty and lovely. And the men would bid on them. And then they'd have their lunch, and then whoever box they got, that's what they ate their lunch with.
Mm-hmm.
And one box social, there was one person that wasn't very popular, one lady that wasn't very popular, mm-hmm. and she fixed up a nice looking box, and there was one man that wanted that box, and they purposely did this, put some tough bacon in a sandwich. And he bit into it, pulled and pulled.
And everybody watched.
Yes.
Now, did you worry if somebody was going to bid on your box or if nobody did?
Well, I never fixed one.
You didn't do that?
No, I've
yeah.
seen that done uh-huh. when I was a kid. No, uh-huh. I never done that.
That'd be hard if nobody.
They would play tricks, you know,
sure.
do tricks for different people on different people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that still goes on, only I think today that's violent tricks they
yeah,
play.
That is true. What about Halloween? Was that a special time?
Well, we never had Halloween when I was a kid out there in the country. You didn't know anything about Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing we had in the group then, it was these dances or a school function where they come to Christmas party.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they'd have a give gifts and have a Christmas tree with gifts on the tree and all for their children.
Mm-hmm. And would you put on a little play?
Yes, they would have songs and little plays for the kids, you know, to take part in their school.
How about after you came to Union? Was that a time when you celebrated Halloween?
No. Do a trick. The worst thing I ever did was you make a tic-tac that we call tic-tacs.
I know that.
Out of a spool?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, tell us what it was like, though.
Well, I'd go up to the windows. There'd be several of us, you know, traveling together. And we'd go up to the window and put this tic-tac on it and then run.
And it was a spool you cut notches?
Notches in the spool, and then you put a pencil or something through that would fit through the hole in the spool.
Mm-hmm.
Wrap a string around the spool, then pull on it.
Yeah,
with the spool up against the window and make an awful rattle.
Uh-huh.
But that's the worst thing that I ever did. Some people would do the dirty tricks, you know. But wasn't too bad. Some of them would put paint or do something naughty.
Mm-hmm.
Put soap on the windows. Of course, that was easy to wash off. But
how about May Day? Did you do anything with May baskets?
Yes, they used to have May baskets. And some of the girls we used to call it sweet on the boys.
Mm-hmm.
For the older people would say.
Mm-hmm.
And you fix up a May basket and go hang it on the doorknob.
Mm-hmm.
And then run.
Knock them in the
yes.
And what happened if the boy would catch you?
They one never did catch me.
I thought they were supposed to kiss you. You were too fast.
Yeah, there was one boy there, his name was Lyle Pastor. In fact, I did go with him later in high school.
Uh-huh. It was a fun time.
We seem to have more fun then than they do now. They got to get in the car and go get some drinks and get drunk and kill themselves sometimes.
Yeah, it's odd, the simple things that satisfy us, I think.
I'm still an old-fashioned one.
I think a lot of us are.
Well, I know I already told you about Good Broad Lake.
You've done a marvelous job of thinking of things that are interesting and that we don't know about, and I think that's really great, and really that's going to be a help to a lot of people to have a little more understanding.
Well, Gracie Tarter heard me telling some of these things when I was young. And I've taken some of these pictures down there, Jill. But I've worked and picked apples and pears down here in Gales. You know, Miskel Gale died at 105.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I worked down there in their orchards. Ride down there on my youngest daughter's bicycle, take a lunch, and work down there all day. I've picked up potatoes, picked up prunes. I finally got so they didn't pick them off of the trees. They shook them.
Oh.
They pick them up off the ground.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And they'd have a man come and shake the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pickers would pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've worked out in the field some, shocking grain. Put them in shocks, you know, pick them up later.
And you just lean them up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't tie them.
No, they're just leaning one against another.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was either three or four shocks to a pile.
Hmm.
we all, you know, we all had to work. We, all our lives, we had to work. And after my first husband died, and I married a man that was quite a bit older than I, and he was a state policeman, and we were married 40 years, but in his later years, he wasn't able to work. I went to work and worked for 20 years before Lloyd and I were married. But I worked with Lloyd. Gee, we used to go out and build fence all day.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well,
camp out, he worked for his, after he quit. See, he had two heart attacks and had to sell his place. And he moved here. And then after we were married, why, in the spring, he'd work for his brother. He had a place up Catherine Creek here. And he would need all of his fences gone over to see if they needed new wires, new posts, and all of that. So I went with him, worked right along with him. And straighten up fence, put in sometimes new wire. And there's a stretch of fence up as you leave, go past, you know, where the LDS Lodge is. Up above that, we built a new fence. I think it was a quarter of a mile, either a quarter or a half, I don't recall. But that fence is still standing good. And Lloyd and I built that from scratch, put in the steel posts, and we had a big old long, I think I told you that before.
I don't think so.
It was uphill. We went from the road, started and go up a steep bank and then go right up a steep hill. And had a big roll of the barbed wire, put the steel posts in first so far apart. He built a lot of them, he knew how. And then this roll of barbed wire, a new big roll, we put a big heavy crowbar through that, me on one end of it, him on the other, attached that wire to the post there at the bottom, right at where we started, and go right up that hill, string it clear up to the top. I think it was a quarter of a mile. And fasten it at the other end, and then come down the hill with it, with the second wire, and attach it, and go back up the hill with the third strand of wire.
So it'd be a three-strand.
A three-strand fence. Well, after you attach them and get it as tight as you can, but then wire stretches. So after we get the wire on, then we have to catch a hold of that wire and pull as hard as we could, both of us, to pull it out to stretch it, then reattach it, take the stretch out, reattach it, and do all of that. And then after he got it stretched and attached as tight as we could get it, he would have a stretcher at the end before it was somewhere you put, and then turn this thing, and that would pull it tight, real tight as you could get it, after we'd stretched it as much as we could, before he attached it for the final time, where he'd stretch it with that thing, and then attach it, and then we'd have to go in and put the clamps on it, to the posts, ever so often.
That was hard work.
Yeah, it was hard work, but that last time when I was up that road, that fence was still standing there.
You should be proud of that. That's an accomplishment.
But my, we did miles and miles and miles of fencing. Kick it out, we'd go out in the camper in March, as soon as it was warm enough and all. In fact, once we had to come in, we had this late snowstorm and it just snowed like everything. So we had to come in and wait for that to melt off. But we'd go out here where Thief Valley, you know where Thief Valley is? Well, there's a cabin out there that belonged to Mark Crossland. I guess it's still, it's still out there. Anyway, it camped out there for weeks at a time, going all around that country out there where he had fences, going over all those fences out there. Making, Lloyd would make posts and props, and we lived out there for 2 or 3 weeks.
What would you take for food?
Oh, we had our camper, and we'd take everything with us when we went, all canned goods. We're out there in canned. But powdered milk and canned milk and all kinds of canned soups and vegetables and fruits. And,
and just cook as you go.
Like hot cakes and biscuits. And
sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
And we had 2 rigs, a camper and a little Toyota Land Cruiser. Of course, we ran all over the hills in the Land Cruiser because it would go just any place. And I always, when we go out, he would drive, he would have the camper and the pickup, and I would drive the Land Cruiser. So when we got through working out here this particular time, we'd been out there, I think, for 3 weeks. And I had, I took my purse, and as it happened, I had better than $80 in that purse when we went out there. And of course, I still had it. Anyway, when we got ready to come back home, it was always me to lock up the camper door, shut the camper door, put the steps in and shut the door and lock it. And then I would get in then Lloyd would come in behind me. He says, you go first. You go ahead of me, so if you have any trouble, why, I will be behind you. So I was to lock all of that up, get ready, and then I would get in the Toyota and would head for home, him behind me. So I got we got home, and it was the next day. Shirley called me up, but that's my daughter. She called me up and she says, the city hall is trying to get in touch with you, said they have your purse. I said, oh, they couldn't have, because I said I had it with me there when we were camped out, and I had it with me, so I said they couldn't have it. I said, well, they have got it. I said, well, I know they had it. I just know they had it because I had it with me. She says, well, where do you keep it when you come home? I said, well, and I always have it in the same place. She says, well, go look, see if you got it. I looked and I didn't have it.
Oh, darn.
So I called the city hall. I said, do you have a purse? My purse up there, and I described the purse. Yes, we do. And they said there was a man that brought it in, turned it in here. So I went up to City Hall to get it. And a man by the name of Johnson that lived in, his folks lived here in town. His grandparents, he was here visiting his grand. He was from California, but he had lived here previously. Maybe you know some of the Johnsons, I don't know. But anyway, he was here visiting his grandparents, and he'd gone to Thief Valley to fish. And there used to be a mailbox where you turn off of the main road to go in down to Thief Valley. This mailbox used to be out there. Was it ever there when you
see? I think so.
Was it still
that
there?
Sounds right.
Anyway, it was setting up on a big post, this mailbox out there. Well, this man that came out, Johnson, that came, he'd been down there fishing, and when he came out there, he noticed that purse sitting up there on top of that, and he went by it, And he thought, well, that's strange, a woman's purse sitting out there. I wonder if it's some kind of a prank. I wonder if they, because there's rattlesnakes down in around there.
Oh, sure.
And he said, he wondered, well, I wonder if somebody for a prank put a rattlesnake in that purse.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So he went back and picked it up and shook it to see if it rattled.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't have a rattlesnake in it.
So it was safe enough.
So he opened the purse, I suppose very carefully.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, when he opened the purse, he found all my name and everything in there,
mm-hmm.
and the money. So he brought it right in and turned it into the city hall. So when I got it, I opened it up. My money was still there. My checks were there, but they were all torn in two.
Oh, really?
So nobody could possibly use it for anything.
So that was a protection, really.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him, I said, why did you tear my checks in two? He said, I didn't. They were that way when I picked your purse up. So somebody else picked it up first.
And brought it. Oh.
So there were two people, and I never did find out who picked it up first.
Uh-huh.
Never did find out.
But both of them, honest as could be.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I wanted to reward him. He said, no, I'm just glad that I could do that. He says, I don't want any reward. But I kept insisting, and so finally he took
$10. Oh, doesn't that make you feel good?
But that, mm-hmm. they did that, so nobody else did.
That was pretty clever.
But what happened? I know now what happened. This camper rode very smoothly, mm-hmm. had good springs and all, and so it didn't rock very much or roll, but it had a good big bumper on it, mm-hmm. and part of the bumper went in under the overhang of the camper.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And when I took my purse, because I had my driver's license in it,
mm-hmm.
when I locked that camper door, I set the purse down on that bumper,
mm-hmm.
checked the door and all, and left, leaving my purse set there.
Yep.
And it finally jiggled off somewhere mm-hmm. along the line,
mm-hmm.
and somebody else picked it up, took it back there, and set it up on top of that, and mm-hmm. the other person came out and found it.
It's a relay.
But it was a miracle.
That's very nice, isn't it?
And I've had that happen twice.
Have you?
Uh-huh. This time it was we were coming out from Alaska, mm-hmm. and it was in British, I don't remember now, it was British Columbia or the Yukon. I think it was in Britain. But it doesn't matter. Anyway, we stopped at a store to buy a few groceries. And I went in and bought them. Lloyd just stayed in the pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in and bought them. And I had a traveler's check. Mm-hmm. So I cashed that traveler's check. And I had it in a little folder that I got the checks in.
Mm-hmm.
It was a gold-colored folder, and it had a red rubber band around it.
I can remember all of it, yeah.
So I paid for my groceries, and then an Indian woman was working in that store. She sacked them up and set them on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked out without it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize it until, I put all my bills in there, mm-hmm. after I cashed the check, I put it in there. And after I walked, I went out and we got in the pickup and went on down the road a ways and to eat,
mm-hmm.
go to pull off the side of the road and eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at my purse and I didn't have that.
and your heart just drops.
I said, stop, stop right now. Well, he said, what's the matter with you? I said, we got to go back to that store. I've left the money back there in that store. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, you didn't. He said, you left it in your purse. I said, no, I didn't. Mm-hmm. I did not. He said, oh, you must have. Well, I said, no, I didn't. It isn't in my purse. Mm-hmm. So we turned around and went back. I went to the store, and there's somebody else there at the check stand, and I told him, I said, I was in here a while ago, about a half an hour ago, and I didn't get all my money. I said, I left it on the counter. Mm-hmm. And I told him about how much I had in it. And he says, well, you talk to the lady over there. So I did. I told her who I was and what. And she says, do you know how much you had? And I told her approximately how much it was. Mm-hmm. And she said, yes. And I told her, I said, it was gold color. It had a red rubber band around it. Mm-hmm. And she says, yes, it's yours. Mm-hmm. So I offered to pay her. And she said, no, I wouldn't take any money for it at all.
It restores your faith, doesn't it?
So I lucked out.
Uh-huh. I think so. How many times did you go to Alaska?
Six times.
Six times. Driving all the time?
We took a ferry from, drove all the way to British Columbia to Prince Rupert. Mm-hmm. And we took a ferry from Prince Rupert to what they call Haines, mm-hmm, on the Inland Passage. Mm-hmm. Went up through Ketchikan, Juneau, Petersburg, all through there. Mm-hmm. And got off at Haines. And then we had to take another ferry. Where did we board it? I know we came out of, from Whittier to Seward.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
No, Portland. Yeah, it was Seward. It was Seward.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. You went just because it was so beautiful?
Oh, we went up there and hurt.
Oh. So when you were in Alaska, you'd go hunting and fishing?
Oh, yes. And there's so many pretty places to see and different, you know. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. so different than it is down here. Mm-hmm. First year we went up there, of course, we were real greenhorns, didn't know anything about what to expect. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, they got good, healthy mosquitoes up there.
And flies?
There's a little fly that's called they have the no-see-ums, but there's another, and it's called white sock, and that's a little teeny thing.
Hmm.
I don't know where they get the socks, because they're big enough for socks. But, oh, they like me, and they poison me so bad. But anyway, we had these real, it was real interesting on that ferry going up.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the glaciers, and where the calves fall down, big chunks of ice falling down there, splashing.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way up there, and there's seals on these ice floats around there. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, he went up there primarily to fish for salmon and hunt moose.
Mm.
So the first year we were there, we stopped at place called Glen Allen. There's a guide. There's a lot of guides up there.
Mm-hmm.
But this guide stopped there and made arrangements with him to take him out hunting. Mm-hmm. So he went out and hunted for, it wasn't time to hunt moose right then, but he made the arrangements then. Then we went on down through Anchorage and down to a place that's called Deep Creek. Mm-hmm. And that is about 40, 50 miles from Anchorage. Mm-hmm. They go down. And went salmon fishing down there. Mm-hmm. Just from, we didn't have a boat, mm-hmm. just fish from the bank. But there was this river that comes in on Cook Inlet. Mm-hmm. And when the tide had come in, when the salmon had come in and go up this deep creek to mm-hmm. spawn. So this was the silver salmon they were running then.
Did you catch one?
Yes, I caught a 15-pound one.
Oh, right.
And I had quite a time landing it. Because where we
fish.
Were, you know, there at Deep Creek, along there, along the edges, mm-hmm. there's seams of coal.
Oh.
Of course, this, what do I want to say? It's a lot higher. There's banks, you know, high as the ceiling or higher.
Mm-hmm.
And up there, there's this seams of coal. And they break off and come down, break off and fall down in the edge of the ocean,
mm-hmm.
this inlet.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the tide comes in, and of course all salmon, it washes it out, takes mm-hmm. these big chunks out there. So you get snagged on them very easy.
Yeah.
They go a long ways out in time, because that's washed for I don't know how many years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was fishing, not the first year we were up there, but this was the second year. Anyway, we were allowed 3 salmon. The first time we went up there, we were allowed 3 salmon. Well, Lloyd did catch I didn't fish the first year. He'd catch his limit,
mm-hmm.
and he still wanted to fish. So when we'd go back to camp, he'd ask him, would you like to have a salmon? Somebody that had a fish? Would you like to have a salmon? Give him away, and then he could fish again.
He'd go again.
Never was checked with a warden.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But anyway, it was just great. Mm-hmm. And blueberries everywhere.
Hmm.
And ground cranberries.
Oh.
They just grow on the ground.
Hmm.
And they just look like little jewels.
Oh,
beautiful. The ground would be covered.
Hmm.
And they're just exactly like our other cranberries.
Oh.
They're smaller, but they mm-hmm. taste, they look the same, only they're smaller.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So then this, he went moose hunting. Then he got a moose.
Hmm.
Well, we brought it. We took it with the, when we went, he had a two-wheeled trailer.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It had a big box on it, two-wheeled, and this, I don't know, probably 6 foot long.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we put a deep freeze in it.
How creative.
Mm-hmm. And so it bone it out, let it mm-hmm. hang, and bone it out, and we bring that home with our frozen meat.
Mm-hmm.
We plug it in and get it all frozen, good and solid,
mm-hmm.
and then fill it up with the meat and fish,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes berries.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it home, a chest type freezer.
Yeah, yeah. And it would last till you got home.
Mm-hmm. We thought we would have to plug in some of the places we'd camp coming home. I mean, stay overnight. We thought mm-hmm. we'd have to plug in, but we never did have to.
Hmm. How many days would it take to draw up?
I think we've made it in 4 or 5 days.
Really? Mm-hmm. The roads weren't as good.
It was paved most of the way until you hit, it wasn't dirt through the Yukon, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But going, you know, go through British Columbia. That's a long way through there.
Yeah.
We'd go in there through, well, first place was... But Penobscot was the last town through Washington.
Uh-huh.
And we'd go into British Columbia and go up through there. And then you go through the Yukon, and then from the Yukon into, it was called Beaver Creek, and that's the, was the line between Alaska and the Yukon.
Mm-hmm.
Through there. But, as I say, we, the first year we took a ferry and didn't go all the way, but the other five trips we, other four trips we, no, five trips we went, mm-hmm. rode.
Drove
all the way there mm-hmm. and back.
Mm-hmm.
And he killed two caribou,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't like them as well. Mm-hmm. The moose was much the better meat.
Mm-hmm. I don't see a moose there.
Well, you know, I gave them away after Roy passed away.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
They had, well, we didn't have a head, just mm-hmm. the horn.
Yeah.
The antlers and the caribou,
mm-hmm.
and there wasn't anything I could do with them, and so I gave them to a friend of ours.
Mm-hmm. Did you see bear?
Oh, yes, saw a lot of bear.
Did you?
Uh-huh. And the last time we were up there, when we got the best, we get moose each year,
mm-hmm.
and the last time. We were there at the guard's home,
mm-hmm.
where he had a place where he took others out, so he had lots of places for you to camp. In fact, he had some cabins set around the lake, because they have float planes. Everybody has a float plane.
Mm-hmm.
And he had cabins all around that float plane that he got them after they built the road up there for the, during the war with Japan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When they put that road up there for that.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got some of those cabins and put them around his lake there.
Mm-hmm.
But what I started to say, well, he had all kinds of equipment for you to hang the meat. And
sure.
commercial grinders and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what we did. We let that moose hang there until it was, of course it was already skinned out and everything, mm-hmm. but just, and then while we were waiting for that, he went out and killed a cow moose and a calf for their use.
Mm-hmm.
And then his father-in-law and his wife's brother, it was his wife's father and his wife's brother,
mm-hmm.
and Lloyd and I, we cut up all of that moose, cow, and calf and ground every bit of it into moose burgers.
Oh my word, that's a lot of work.
And put it in a big deep freeze that he had.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Didn't do it all in one day. It was about a week. Got that all done. And then the night that we got finished and all in that big deep freeze, maybe there's two of them, there was a light earthquake and it shook the door open on that deep freeze. That spilled out a lot of it.
It didn't spoil.
No, of course.
Uh-huh.
It was all double wrapped in uh-huh. this heavy paper. And so we even experienced a light earthquake. In fact, it did two of them. Because one time when he went into a hardware store there at Glen Allen to buy his caribou license,
mm-hmm.
while we were standing there waiting to get waited on, you know, they had different tools and things hanging on a rack, you know, with these pegboards.
Yeah.
And all at once, I start swaying, and those tools are rocking back and forth.
Oh.
And the clerk in there said, earthquake.
Oh.
And that, we were up there shortly after that, that big earthquake that the town of Valdez slid in the ocean.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most of it went in the ocean. Mm-hmm. Well, we were up there right after that.
Hmm.
It was in 1972.
Was it? Yeah. That was an awful time.
So they've moved the town back.
Hmm.
There's several people up there from that live up there now from Union, quite a number of
them. Oh, really?
They went up there and liked it and stayed.
And just lived.
Huh. I have a granddaughter, the one that made that album.
Mm-hmm.
She's been up there since 1974.
Oh,
she lives in Anchorage.
Hmm. Hmm. You probably have family all over the country.
Oh,
yeah.
One experience that you asked me about there.
Uh-huh.
That was the first year we went up there, too. We were camped at a place that it was called a bear. Bear Camp. They have different names at the different posts, or but that was a bear something, I don't recall now the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we were camped. And I was just telling you about these little white sock flies.
Yeah.
I was picking blueberries that day, that afternoon that we got at this particular place.
Mm-hmm.
And never thought in that I'd ever felt a bite or anything. And of course, I had hiking boots on, not so high. And of course, pants. And that night, when I got ready to go to bed, my legs started hurting real bad. And it was just burned and hurt, something terrible. And when I started to undress, I had a bloody ring right around the top of my shoes, both legs.
It's chewed you up.
And it was those little old flies that had bitten. Well, I was in misery all night long, and especially that night, I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
We've been to Portage. There's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
We go to, from, I guess it was from Whittier. Anyway, we spent Portage. That's where the glacier keeps breaking off, and ice flows, and they come in. Well, Lloyd got chunks of ice, big chunks I put, because we had ice box in our camper, and he got big chunks of ice to put in the ice box. So I thought, well, my legs burn so badly.
Mm-hmm.
And I put ice packs on them. I put them in a plastic bag, put ice on them, and that just drove the heat in and made them hurt worse than ever.
Oh, you'd think it would help.
So then I put hot packs on them, and that didn't help. Mm-hmm. And I put soda in the water, and that didn't help.
Try anything.
I tried everything, but anyway, thought, well, I've got to go to bed sometime, and Lloyd had already. Of course, we had our bed up overhead there.
Mm-hmm.
And so just before I got ready to go to bed, I said, did you lock the truck doors?
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, I didn't. So I took a flashlight and went out to lock up.
Mm-hmm.
We were driven in, of course, right in head of our camper, right at the hood, was a big picnic table, so high. I went around to lock my door first, and then I was going to walk around, which I did. But anyway, I went out to lock my door. As I locked it, I had my flashlight to go around the front of the pickup. There was a big black bear the other side of that table.
Oh my gosh. And you were very far from the door.
He was about that, standing about that high above the table, his whole back and head above that table.
Yeah.
Well, I had this flashlight, and I shined it right in his face. Uh-huh. He was looking at me.
Uh-huh.
And I just held out, and I backed up. I went between the pickup and the table, backed up and held that flashlight in his face, mm-hmm. and locked the other door. And I backed,
really?
And I backed clear around to the door to get it.
And you got away.
And I, Lloyd says, when I got in, said, I bet you don't know what I saw.
You're a brave lady.
I don't know, they're brave or just senseless.
No, that was incredible.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
But we'd seen a lot of bear.
Uh-huh.
And then, as I was going to tell you, just before we left the last time, that guide says, well, take you for a ride in the plane, and I'll take you up and show you where there's a lot of moose. Mm-hmm. And it was a place, it was a depression, a big bowl up in the mountains. Mm-hmm. And they called it Moose Heaven up there.
Mm-hmm.
So he took us up there and flew all around. Well, there were some moose down in there, mm-hmm. and there was a grizzly bear.
Okay.
He said, now we'll watch this bear. And he dove down,
mm-hmm.
just not real close to the bear, but fairly close to it, buzzed that bear, and of course, it thought something terrible was after him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was running and looking, it was turned and looking up at that big bird.
Yeah, yeah.
And running. Did you think it was going to fall over on its side?
Hmm.
But its hide, you know, was just flopping, really.
You were pretty close.
So that was something different
to
see.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah. You've had a lot of adventures.
Yes, we have.
Kind of fun to think about.
Oh, we saw moose and caribou, lots of caribou. Lots of them there at Yukon.
Hmm.
Herds of them.
Hmm.
I thought